Kia ora and welcome to Property Matters. Tonight, we chat about your financial roadmap and insurance so you can look at investing or buying your first home with Jamie James. Remember, you can download our podcast from barfoot.co.nz/property matters or listen anytime here on planetaudio.org.nz. Welcome to Property Matters. Welcome to another Monday here in Property Matters. It's a bit wet here in Auckland today. If you're driving home, drive safe as you're listening. It's delighted to have you tuned into our show. Now, as you know, each week we have a mix of guests from across the rental and investment landscape to give you tips and tricks on how to maximise your investment and provide practical advice for tenants and landlords who just need that tricky question answered. This is very much your show, so we encourage you to email us at any point at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz or send us a message on our Facebook page at Property Matter Radio and we will get the experts to answer you in upcoming episodes. And thank you to everyone who's been busy sharing our podcast out there on your own social media. We love it. Keep it going. Thank you. And now a big welcome. I'm so delighted to have the very wonderful Jamie James from Jamie James Financial and Insurance in the studio this afternoon. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome. Steven. That's quite a mouthful. Jamie James. You know, probably don't hear people say it quite like that. Great to have you here. And you are a real expert in the field and came highly recommended by many sources. So congratulations. You're doing something right out there.
Thank you.
Now, I'm curious today to sort of unpack the financial journey and then to help investors, but also the insurance that needs to go with that to keep our investors safe, I guess. Mm-hmm. So before we start, tell us a little bit about yourself and your own journey that led you to running a successful business with a financial and insurance focus.
Sure. Well, as most journeys, we start off with a plan, but then sometimes things just don't go according to plan. So I worked three jobs through high school and I purchased my first home on my own at age 24 in Auckland. But I didn't get any advice or guidance around that. So I went directly to the bank and the banks don't teach us how to structure our mortgage loan to suit us. A friend of mine said, look, you know, you've got a house, you should get some insurance and get some mortgage protection. So I did. But then a couple of years later, I thought, you know what? I don't need it. I'm young, bulletproof. And it was just money that was going out. And honestly, I really didn't understand the insurance. Roll forward a few years, the global financial crisis hit. I got made redundant along with heaps of other people. And the property market bottomed out. I had no job, no income coming in, and the interest rates shot up. So it was around about 10%. And I had the banks phoning me, leaving messages on my mobile phone to phone them back because I was defaulting on mortgage repayments. So I was probably about 28 years old, and it was a really tough time. It was a really tough time. But what I learned through that is I almost lost my home, and I was very fortunate at that point in time that my brother, who was trying to get on the property ladder but couldn't afford it himself, I reached out to him and said, hey, look, if you want to purchase 50% shares of this home, because you know it's been my blood, sweat, and tears, and if I get booted off the property ladder, I don't know how long it's going to take for me to be able to get back on. So he purchased 50%. I obviously use that capital to reduce the mortgage and get the banks off my back. So I was very lucky, very, very lucky, but it could have turned out differently. But in saying that, there was so much learning that I went through that in terms of getting specialist advice in terms of lending, like structuring your mortgage loan to suit you and making sure that works. If external forces that we don't have control over happen to us, can we still afford it? It was really important, getting the right insurance and specialist advice and legal things around that. So I roll forward a few years. I purchased that property for $375,000 and we put a minor dwelling on the back of it. So it's now valued at about 1.4, 1.5 mil. So it's a great ending to the story, but there's been a lot of tough times journeying through that, and that is why I love to help people bypass those rookie mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a very good brother too in the mix.
Very good brother. He's very happy with his investment. Yeah, yeah.
That was a good return.
I did all the hard yards for him.
So tell us about your company. When was it formed? And I'm curious a little bit about your sort of your products and services that you offer, although we will unpack them a little bit later in the show.
Okay. So the Christchurch earthquake, that's how I got into insurance. The Christchurch earthquakes happened. So I started working for EQC and I didn't know anything about insurance. Oh, but that was absolutely devastating because I was working in claims.
What a way to start.
I love to be able to fix things, and I was taking phone calls from people who had lost everything. Now, I was getting frustrated with myself thinking, why aren't these insurance companies paying out? I don't understand it. Why is it taking so long for these claims to go through? Why is it taking so long for people to go out and see these people so that they could put these claims through? What I learned is that I didn't even know what I was covered for. Yes, I got my house, right. I got house insurance, but of course we just chuck those policy documents in the bottom drawer. And so often we can have a perception that we're covered, but it's sometimes quite different to the reality. And usually people don't investigate what am I covered for until they actually need it, and sometimes it is way too late. So I couldn't fix anything there, and so I ended up transferring to a very well-known insurance provider here in New Zealand. I worked frontline, so I was talking to people. I also worked with advisors. I was talking to claims specialists and underwriters, so I got a very good broad perspective on the whole insurance side of things. And common problems that I was coming across was that people were phoning to cancel their policies because they were frustrated that their premiums were increasing. They were worried that they hadn't heard from their insurance advisor since they put the policy in place, and they didn't even understand what they were covered for. So I got talking to people and helped them, but I then had to transfer them to their advisor because I wasn't an actual advisor. Right. And these people were saying, why can't you help me understand what you're saying? Like, can I stay with you? So after about 13 months of that, I thought, actually, I really want to help people directly, and that's when I formed my company back in 2012, which has gone so fast. And so what I specialize in is personal and business insurance. When, if you think about insurance, think of it like the medical industry. It's comprehensive and it's complex, and when we go to see our GP, usually our GP will refer us to a specialist. So I specialize in looking after people. So Yes, we've got insurance to look after our houses, TVs and cars, but what really interests me and what I really love is looking after people. So if their health or their financial circumstances change, that's the support and advice that we can provide around that.
It's very interesting that you were referred today by Tāpiri Hewitt, the mortgage advisor we had on the show a few weeks ago, because you both have the same philosophy around looking at the person and working with the people rather than the policy on the paper.
Oh, absolutely. Well, policy on a paper is nothing until you actually understand a person's world. Because if you think about income protection, for example, there are hundreds of different types of income protections and they all work differently at claims time. So you need to understand who the person is, what their preferences and priorities are, and match them with the right insurance. Because ultimately, what my philosophy is, if somebody's going to invest in a policy, I want to make sure that they get maximum return on their investment. So we've got to put them in best outcome for claims, and the only way to do that is to get into their world, understand what their priorities are, and then match them with the right insurers.
Yeah. It's interesting what you're saying about people too, not necessarily knowing where their policy's at. Or for me, it was, you know, you get the annual email with the 200-page document that says, hi, we're renewing, and you click. And it wasn't until, I'm one of those loyal customers, so I was a Bell South customer, then it became Vodafone, and, you know, I just stay unless someone really has to annoy me to move. Well, I was the same with my insurance, and it wasn't until we had a family burglary, rang up, and, of course, the policy had been created when I was 18, and computer, laptop, none of those things were covered because they weren't invented back then. Well, they were invented, but they weren't out in the public sphere. And having this argument with an insurance company going, but hang on, I've covered my contents. I'm like, yes, but if you look at the clause, it's really colour computers. I'm like, but I just hit renew every year. Yeah,
I feel your pain.
Yeah, we'll be talking later. So a little later, I'm keen to unpack some of the different insurance products so we can better understand them and what we may need. But I was really drawn in your website and your marketing to your financial mapping, you called it, which isn't something you typically see on an insurance website. And you sort of touched on the why you do it. Can you tell us a little bit about what financial mapping is going to be?
Yeah, absolutely. So, again, insurance is nothing without understanding the person. So philosophy is that insurance should support somebody's financial plan. So let's get to understand what your plans are. So the financial mapping is we can give you a visual snapshot of your current financial position. We can explore ways that increase lifetime cash flow, that decrease your debt as well. We can look at KiwiSaver. Are you investing in KiwiSaver? What does that look like for you at around about age 65? Do you have a property portfolio? We can illustrate and model out buying properties, selling properties. What is the net LVR across your property portfolio? What is the yield return? What if you are looking at taking on board debt to renovate one of these properties? How does that impact your debt servicing ability? What if you're looking at potentially selling a couple of rental properties? We can model out, do you want to redistribute those funds across the entire portfolio or just pay off a couple of different ones? Or do you want to buy another rental property? If it's a first-time buyer, we can actually financially map out what their current financial position is and how much can they afford as a first-time and things like that. What I really love about it, I think what people really love about this is that they can make mistakes. Make mistakes in the binary world rather than the real world. Yeah. So really, really interesting. So, of course, the interest rates.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of people that are on the nice 2.29% interest rate. Well, we can model out what is it look like if this rate hits 4%? Can you still afford it? What if it hits 7%, which is still possible? So then people can get an idea of like, wow, this is what's going to happen with our household income if this does happen. And what are plans that we can put in place to be able to mitigate any financial stress around that?
Yeah. So how does financial mapping, like I get what you're doing, sounds amazing, but how does it link to your insurance side?
Good question. So then once we financially map out a client's world, I flush out different assets. So some people might have savings. They might have a revolving credit facility. They might be happy to sell a property. So don't pay for insurance that you don't need. So we can plug in insurance that meets the client's support needs and no more than that. So, for example, you might have a couple where one person is working. So putting income protection around them makes sense because that's going to make a financial impact to the family if they lost their income and they couldn't work and earn. But not necessarily the other person definitely doesn't need that. I've had clients that we actually cancelled their income and their diagnosis cover last week because they've come into an early inheritance. So they don't need the money and they're 37 years old.
Right.
So we've cancelled that, but they still want to keep some life cover in place for their young son. So financial mapping takes out the guesswork. Mm. We don't guess, we calculate.
And you're aligning the insurance with their goals as well, by
absolutely.
The sounds of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and where they want to be.
Yeah, absolutely. And because our lives change. Mm. We go through ebbs and flows. So we're always reviewing our clients every year or when their financial circumstances change. So typically when there's an increase or a decrease in household income, if they're about to have a baby and somebody's going to go on maternity leave, if they're looking, hey, I've got some equity in the home, do you think that I could afford to maybe leverage off this and buy a rental property? So we can map those things out and then make sure that the insurance is supporting their plans.
Can people work with you on this financial roadmap before seeing a mortgage broker? It kind of feels like it's step one, step two with a mortgage broker and then back to you with insurance at the same time sort of thing. Am I right or am I off track there?
You know, you're absolutely right. They can. So, for example, recently I had a couple. They're renting. And we can actually show people if you're renting, this is what rent could look like in 10 years' time or in 20 years' time, in 30 years' time. So what could it potentially look like? look like to maybe map out looking at buying a home. So they were renting, and we financially mapped out their world, and we were able to explore that what's their sweet spot so they could afford a 790K lending. Anything more than that, they still could, but it just would be a bit too tight for them. Yeah. And for their risk tolerance and comfort level, 790 was the sweet spot. We were then able to model out, okay, 2.29% interest rate. What if it goes up to 4%? Can you still afford it? 7%, can you still afford it? And they could. And then we were able to model out, okay, so with your incomes coming in, minus your tax, KiwiSaver, and your other outgoings and your mortgage repayments, you've still got some surplus left over. If you guys considered reallocating a portion of your surplus back onto your mortgage, instead of that taking you 30 years to pay off that mortgage debt, you would cut 30 years down to 17 years.
Wow.
And if you did that, you would save over $200,000 in interest to the bank. Now, this lady was on $99,000 as a salary each year. She would literally have to work 2 years of her life for the bank. But by her discovering this and understanding this, they were like, that's easy. We can totally do that. She's gained 2 years of her life and her time back, which you can't put a price on that.
I guess, that's where chatting to people like yourself, to Tapri, who we interviewed, to get that expert advice, because we do live in a world now where it's so easy to just go online.
Yes.
Before you know it, you've put an application in for something, but you are dealing then with someone remotely who's got no relationship or interest in you.
Mm-hmm.
To have those sorts of conversations. If you're on a bank website, you're signing up for 30 years.
Yes.
Yeah. There is no discussion.
There is no discussion, and that is a common problem. So I'd say around about 75% of people that are referred through to me that do have existing insurance, part of our process is that we complete the due diligence on that. And we find quite often that people are paying for policies that we're never going to pay out. It's usually not their fault, but people, you don't understand how insurance applications work. There are trip points in the application. So if you're going online and you're reading that question really quickly and you're not seeing the literal sense of it, that is unintentional non-disclosure, and that's the horror stories that you read about in the paper, and where claims go bad.
And we've seen how tight post things like the Christchurch earthquake, how tight insurance can get.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Before we unpack the different types of insurance, I'm curious, do you have stories of other clients and claims that you can share with us without breaking confidence that helps us understand your role in this and getting the right insurance?
Yes. Okay, so I have client who he brought his family over from the UK, and the mortgage advisor referred them through to me, and they bought a big beautiful home, put the family protection cover in place. 4 months later, it was a Sunday, I got a call from the wife, and I went straight to the hospital. So what had happened is my client was riding his bicycle. He had a helmet on, everything. Now, my client came from the UK, and he was in military, so ridiculously fit and healthy, super intelligent. But he had a cardiac arrest. He came off of his bike. He sustained major head injuries. He was resuscitated at the scene and then twice on the way to hospital. Now, what ended up happening is ACC declined him, and they declined him because the accident was caused by a medical condition. He had a cardiac arrest. So if he didn't have insurance, ACC would not have helped him. But he did. He had a family protection plan, and it didn't matter about ACC. So what eventually paid out for him straight away on diagnosis was his trauma cover. So trauma cover, I call it diagnosis cover, pays straight away on diagnosis. So he had a cardiac arrest, a lump sum paid out. Now, this particular client, because of the head injuries, he's not the same man that I met 7-8 years ago, and he is still on claim. He wants to work, but he can't because of the head injuries. So he's uncertified to drive because he can have blackouts every now and then. He has his concentration, his memory, his things like that makes it very, very, very difficult for him. So the lump sum of trauma cover, the family used that to reduce the debt on the mortgage. And his income protection is replacing his income. So it's covering the mortgage repayments, the power and the rates. And it also afforded the wife to be able to stop work for a long period of time because she was working and she was the mum looking after the two girls as well, but then became a full-time caregiver for a very long time whilst he was going through treatment. So his income protection is still helping that family out at this point in time.
How's he doing?
He's doing good. Yeah, he's doing really good. I can't break confidentiality. But he's such an amazing man and a real inspiration. And they've actually done a documentary on him. He's very cool. I have a client that was 29 years old and he had missed a couple of payments. And I thought, that's really odd. That's not normal for him. So I phoned him and I was like, hey, you okay? And he was like, actually I'm not. I haven't worked for a couple of months and I'm really sick, but nobody knows what's going on with me. And I was like, why didn't you phone me? This is a claim. And he was I was going to phone you, but I didn't think it was a claim because I haven't been diagnosed with anything. And I'm like, what's his symptoms? What's going on? He said, full-on diarrhea, and they don't know whether it's neurological or whether it's gastro, but they're sending me off to this specialist and that. I'm blacking out. His body was going through all sorts of different things. Anyway, I put the claim through. So he had mortgage protection. If you can't work and earn, then your mortgage repayments are covered. What eventually happened is working with the claims team is my client, 29 years old, two children, he was the sole income earner and they had a third bubbaloo on the way, was under extreme stress and anxiety and there was a lot of things going on at work. So he was diagnosed with extreme stress and anxiety that his body was producing those types of symptoms. Now, because we got in early and the claims team were so amazing and they helped and supported him and they also gave him and his family free counselling and things like that. 4 months later, he was happy as Larry and his wife was happy and he felt really good and rehabilitated and back to work again, which was really awesome. So the insurance did what it was meant to do, help and support the family so that ultimately they can focus on recovery. And then I had a client recently, a 43-year-old mum who was diagnosed with a terminal cancer. So on diagnosis of the cancer, the lump sum paid out and they used it to cover immunotherapy treatments. So fact is, 1 in 3 New Zealanders are diagnosed with cancer and cancer is really expensive. So this is where, again, you hear read in the Herald or hear about people having to fire sale their homes just to get available funds to cover treatment costs. So she was stressed out about that, and when the husband phoned, I was like, you guys have got this diagnosis cover, so we'll get that paid out. So they used that for immunotherapy treatment. He completely stopped work so he could take her to her treatments, and then when she passed away recently, the life cover paid out, so the husband's able to use that to clear the mortgage debt, and he's got two girls aged 9 and 13 to raise. So the funds will be able to help him as much as possible. I mean, that's his best as we can do, but it's made a meaningful difference, meaningful difference to them.
And it's hard sometimes, isn't it? You sort of, you know, you look at your bills each week and insurance does become one of those things, but the moment something goes wrong, it pays for itself.
It totally does.
Protects your loved ones.
I hear you. I mean, I cancelled my insurance. I didn't get it, and to me it was money going out. There's better things that I could spend on it. But in 9 years now of helping people and facilitating claims, I've seen it all. And I've seen the weirdest, randomest things happen that can just, it just turns a world upside down. But when you've got those funds available and you've got that support, if you don't have to worry about how your mortgage or your rent is going to be covered.
And also, if you're unwell, that's going to add to your stress level.
Financial stress,
if you know you're covered, your bills are covered, your family's covered while you're recovering, immediately that's going to take an edge off.
It does.
Can we start to unpack some of the insurance products that you work with? Because they're a little bit different. And I'm curious, first of all, to understand what is the difference between life, trauma, you've got total and permanent disability cover. What are the key differences in that?
Key differences. Okay. So let's call life cover death cover, because it only pays when we die or if we're about to die. Easy.
Yeah.
trauma cover. I just renamed that to diagnosis because it sound trauma sounds like it's going to be like really bad. It doesn't.
You've given a good example there of when that can kick in.
Totally. Mm. It could be an early diagnosis. Okay. So the beauty of trauma or diagnosis cover is it pays on diagnosis irrespective as to whether you can work or not. Okay. That's the key difference. It's a lump sum on a diagnosis. Income protection, let's call that income replacement. In the event that an illness or an injury means that I can't show up to work and I can't earn my income, it will replace my income on a monthly basis. And then your total and permanent disability is exactly that. You've got to read the fine print. Totally and permanently disabled. Okay. Like 1 in 10,000 claims. Very unlikely to happen.
Right.
Yeah, but probably the most devastating because you're still alive, but you can't earn an income.
Mm. And the ACC benefits and things is hard. That's not enough to live off.
Yeah, ACC. It's been interesting watching that journey. It's getting harder and harder to claim on ACC. I had a 28-year-old client that does dragon boat racing, and she had a massive accident and needed to have shoulder rotator cuff surgery and a couple of months off work. ACC declined her because they deemed her shoulder to be degenerative. It was degenerative prior to the accident. Yes, but it didn't matter because the income protection that we had recommended to her paid her irrespective of what ACC would do. Yeah.
And you also have packages like mortgage and rent insurance?
Yeah, yep. So they're think of them exactly the same as income protection. The slight difference is they call it mortgage and rent is if you can't work and earn, then you've got X amount of money coming in each month. The difference is that it's not tax deductible and it's not tax accessible and there's no ACC offset. So if you do have an accident and if ACC pay you ACC claim payments, you're still going to receive 100% of your mortgage protection or rent protection on top of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Very similar. Think of mortgage and rent cover as the same as income protection. The only difference is no offsets.
Right. Yep. So you're tailoring the package to suit the person of the mix of what they need.
Yes.
Yeah. And redundancy cover, I'm guessing that's, you know, someone's made redundant after a certain length of time.
Mm-hmm. So redundancy cover got killed basically in 2019.
Right.
All insurers, I think it was about the third or the fourth week of our first lockdown, insurers sent out a message saying we're taking redundancy cover off the table.
Right.
It was just
fair
too
enough.
High risk. So right now you just can't get it anywhere.
Did you have other big impacts with COVID-19?
Yeah.
To the insurance world?
So the insurance landscape has changed. I think Tapiti may have talked about it with mortgages. It's hard to get lending right now. Banks are asking a lot more questions, needing a lot more requirements. Since the events of 2020, we've got so much more people that are interested in getting insurance, but actually being able to get them the insurance is quite different. They've got to jump quite a few hurdles now. A lot more questions, more requirements and things like that, but it's the way that it is.
Again, another reason to have a professional look after it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. All right, we're going to take a short music break and then we will continue this exciting conversation with Jamie James. Here now is I Don't Want to Miss a Thing. It's from Music Travel Love featuring Felix Irwin for your Monday afternoon drive home.
I could stay awake just to hear you breathing. Watch you smile while you are sleeping. While you're far away dreaming. And I could spend my life in this sweet surrender. I could stay lost in this moment forever. Every moment spent with you is a moment I treasure. Oh yeah. I don't wanna close my eyes. I don't wanna fall asleep 'cause I miss you, babe. And I don't wanna miss a thing. 'Cause even when I dream of you,
I'm wondering what you're dreaming. Wondering if it's me you're seeing. And then I kiss your eyes and thank God it's together. I just wanna stay here with you in this moment forever, forever and ever.
Thing, Music Travel Love, very appropriate group, like a bit of music, travel and love, the three most important things, I think. Now, welcome back. If you have something you or your company would like to share with our investors, like Jamie is today, do get in touch with us by emailing us at propertymatters@barfoot.co.nz. Now, here at Planet FM, we have a fundraising drive on and we do need your help. We are based on the grounds of Unitech at Carrington Road, and with the massive housing development about to start, we've had to look for a new home, and we're excited to announce that we've purchased a block with the wonderful neighbours of Barfoot and Thompson, Mount Albert. Now, thanks to wonderful funding support, we were able to purchase our new home, but we need your help to fit it out so we can move into this digital age. You kind of need to see the desk I'm sitting at to totally appreciate that, but if you've ever watched the TV show Frasier from the 80s, it's the same desk. Now, Planet FM will set up space for five other fantastic not-for-profit organisations to join them, including the Red Cross, Aotearoa Resettled Community Coalition, Belong Aotearoa, Asylum Seekers Support Trust and the Refugee Health and Wellbeing Trust. So to support all of those fantastic organisations, plus here at Planet FM, which is a community radio station, head to planetfm.org.nz/donate. Now I'm back with our wonderful guest, Jamie James, and we've got just under 10 minutes. So I'm going to fire some quick fire questions at you because I've got so much I want to ask. First of all, what do you love most about your job?
I love helping people, and honestly, it's such a privileged role. I don't know any other occupation or role where you know more about your clients than what sometimes their best friends or spouses even know. So it's like Kiwis, you know, we don't really share with friends about how much we earn, or we don't talk about our medical histories and things like that. For our clients, we understand their world. We understand what their hopes, wishes and dreams are because we financially map that out. We understand, you know, their medical history. We know what they earn.
That's pretty special.
It is.
And you're right. We don't often open up on some of those discussions. So you must have to build quite a rapport and trust for it to be a really truthful discussion.
It is. And it's a two-way street as well, because transparency and honesty, I believe, is the foundation to a really good relationship, whether we have a business relationship or a friend relationship or a spousal relationship. And so for clients, the more that they can share with us, the more that we can actually help them.
Nice. Can I ask what rookie mistakes people tend to make with insurance?
Not getting advice.
Yeah. Yeah, just
that
opening
would be
those emails and
the
go,
number
yes,
one.
Yes.
We'll put it this way. I know about estate planning, but I certainly wouldn't write my own will. I would go to a specialist solicitor so that I've got that peace of mind that what I want to have happen actually happens in the way that I expect it to. Same with your insurance, or, you know, if my car was broken down, I could have a look under the hood, might have a bit of a poke around, but I'd still take it to my mechanic to get it fixed, right? Same with insurance. So it's easy to go online, but you're looking at numbers. I hope that people can understand it doesn't matter where you go, those quotes are exactly the same online or whether you go direct to the insurer or whether you work with an insurance advisor. But with an advisor, you get that advice around it and that support.
Well, I mean, your example before of you going to the hospital, you're not going to find an insurance company rocking up at your hospital to check in.
No.
You know, it's a special relationship stuff that gets formed.
Yeah.
Looking at your website, you also have a number of business insurances. You had a business continuation insurance, a key person insurance, shareholder protection insurance. Can you quickly talk us through some of those?
Yeah, okay. So business insurance is complex, so I'll try and unpack this as easy as possible. Let's say you and I were in business. Okay, so there's two parts. We will look at shareholder protection and then we will look at revenue protection. So let's say our business is worth $1 million and we've both got 50% shares in it, so 500 equity to me, 500 equity to you. What would happen if I passed away? You would technically be in business with my husband,
right?
Because he owns my estate, and that would be also the shares that I hold in the company. But he's not necessarily going to contribute to the business. So we can have a life cover shareholder protection in place that if I pass away, then 500K gets paid to my estate. So that's the equity gets taken out and gets paid to my estate. And then a buy-sell agreement will transfer my shares rightfully to you so that you get that full shareholder back. So that's shareholder protection. You're protecting the shares and the shareholders of the business. Then you've got revenue protection. So we come to work and we earn a revenue. And you and I would have very specific roles around that. And if you weren't at work doing your role, then there would be a potential impact to the revenue of the business. So that's your key person. So it's exactly the same as personal. It would be revenue life cover. It would be revenue trauma cover. It would be revenue protection, total and permanent disability, and business continuation. So, for example, if I passed away, you might receive, or the business will receive, 100K into the business to help support the overheads and to manage that drop in the revenue because I'm not there anymore. So it gives you time to get somebody else to fill my shoes. If I'm diagnosed with a condition like cancer and I'm off work for 10 months, again, same thing.
Right.
There's an injection of funds into the business for the business to spend so that the business can continue going on. So that's the defining difference between personal and business protection. Personal, you personally own it or a trust can own it and it gets paid to you. Business, the business owns the policy, the business pays for the policy, and the claim payments get paid into the business for the business to use it.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not going to believe this. I said 10 minutes and actually it was 5. Our time is just flowing today.
Wow.
And we haven't even unpacked a whole lot of other questions I wanted to ask. So I'm going to ask a favour.
Yes.
Come back on in a few weeks' time and we'll continue the conversation. Perhaps we'll get Tapri in here as well and sort of link the two together because I am keen to unpack some of the medical sides of things as well and talk about when to review. So we'll make this a two-parter.
Sounds great.
Very quickly, how can people get in touch with you if they want to pick up something from today?
Phone 021-527-069 or jamie@jamiejames.com.
Brilliant. Sorry that time went, but that's a good sign. That means we've had a good conversation. We'll look forward to continuing that in a few weeks' time. Next week, we are chatting with two young letting agents for advice for young 20-plus-year-olds on how to get into their first rental or investment property. Have a fabulous week. We'll join you again next week. Take care.